Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, halfway home with you on a beautiful Friday summer evening in the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia. Going to chat with Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com here in just a second to get her perspective on all things Dirty Birds as the first day of camp is underway. And we'll see what happens with this if you missed it. The Falcons made an interesting signing today. They signed wide receiver DJ Chark. Now, in my opinion, this could be for one of two reasons. One could be they just want some more wide receiver depth, and that's something I've been talking about all offseason. They could probably use another guy. Is it a glaring need? No. But door number two is a lot less satisfying one, and that would be that they feel that Darnell Mooney has a chance to miss some time, and they need to make sure they have a competent guy in there who can take his place. Now, Chark, ironically, very similarly to Mooney, has had some flashes in the NFL, had one big season, and has never really put it together since. So interesting enough that that's the player that they choose to bring in as a potential replacement for Mooney if it is something long-term. To discuss all that and more, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our friend Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. Taryn, before we get into the Chark signing from today, what was your experience of day one at camp? What were the highlights? Who stood out to you?
Hi. Yes, day one of camp yesterday. Gosh, I can't believe it. Training camp is already here. But overall, it was really good to be back. I think Kyle Pitts stood out to me the most, which I think a lot of people has said also. I put that in my camp report. It was just good to see him doing a little bit of everything because you saw him taking a lot of reps from Michael Penix Jr. But then later on in practice, normally when he hangs out with like Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and the quarterbacks in the middle of the field while special teams is going on, this time he was over on the side with his position coach, Kevin Coger, working on his blocking. So that's something I clocked and really appreciated seeing both sides of his game being worked on already in the first practice.
Were you surprised at Michael Penix Jr.'s comments to open his presser about saying how he got the ball to Pitts? Did y'all like that?
I love it. I think it was intentional, but because I think Michael Penix Jr. is a very smart guy and he doesn't just say things to say things. But it makes me curious about what's to come, whether or not that's going to continue throughout training camp and what that's going to mean for the season.
All right. So a couple of things did happen off the field of note. Troy Anderson starts the season on the PUP list. What does that mean for the linebacker room and the rotation? And then today we find out that they signed DJ Chark. Is that a curious signing in your opinion as it relates potentially to Darnell Mooney?
Troy Anderson is obviously a bummer. You hate to see anyone get injured, especially someone who has dealt with injuries for a majority of his professional career so far. And that doesn't mean he won't play this season. Torrey McElhinney wrote out all the details when it comes to PUP requirements on AtlantaFalcons.com when that news came out, and I was in Raheem Morris's press conference. And so, but who knows where that's going to go? We can only wait and see. But for the room itself, that just is going to keep Caden Ellis in the spotlight. But at the same time, it's going to put an even bigger light on Divine Diablo, who was signed, I believe, to kind of fill that role opposite of Caden Ellis, because you never really knew Troy Anderson's health status, whether he was going to make it through a whole season. Obviously, you hope so, but you don't know. You can't guarantee anything like that. So now you'll have Caden and Divine, but that also leaves kind of a void. Say if something were to happen to one of those two, which you don't want. Again, nobody wants anyone to ever get injured, but maybe that allows JT Bertrand to build off of what he did in his rookie season.
All right. So when it comes to now the state of the wide receiver room, did you see the play where Mooney got injured yesterday? And if so, what did you think of it?
I saw the play itself. I did not see him leave though, because I was clocking all the different passes being thrown, and it was a deep shot down the right side, and Mooney was heading toward the sideline in double coverage, and I could see it looked like he was going to catch it, but he had a dive to get it, and then he dropped it and went down. Upon the ball bouncing out and whatnot, I looked away, so I missed him walking off. Tori caught it because she was closer to the action. I was further down the sideline, like more so toward the quarterback. So I missed that moment, but he walked off on his own, everyone has said, and saw. So we don't know the severity, if at all. Like, he might not even be injured. He could have just had the wind knocked out of him. We don't know anything because Raheem Morris spoke before practice, and so we haven't gotten any type of update. So when it comes to today's report of the signing of DJ Chark, you can't say it's a tit-for-tat kind of thing. You can't say it's one-for-one. Not yet. Maybe we'll get more news on Mooney tomorrow. But right now, you can't say one or another. And I heard you before I came on the call about how the wide receiver room does need more depth. It's not a necessity, but it would be nice. And I think this signing, regardless of Mooney's status, helps with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just something, again, that I was noting, Taryn, as we're talking to Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com, that, yeah, I mean, they definitely have pieces, and Mooney and Ray McLeod, Kadarrell Hodge, if he gets in the mix, that could step up. But, you know, they could certainly use as much help there as they can get. All right, when it comes to something I'm very interested in, how did Caleb McGarry look moving in your opinion yesterday? Listen, I know no pads and no collisions, but at the same time, did he look fluid to you? Is this something you think is going to be an easy transition for him?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. And we also talked to him after practice, where the injury that kept him out during the off-season program is completely healed. And even back during that time frame, Raheem Morris was saying they were just being abundantly cautious. They just wanted to be super careful during that time period, because I don't want to say the off-season program didn't matter, but when it comes to veterans, it's less of an importance as it was, say, rookies or people who are trying to make the roster and the people who are trying to cultivate depth. That's why during the off-season program, you always saw the second team during 11-on-11 work rather than the first team. So when it comes to Caleb now during training camp, it's just kind of him building back in and getting comfortable since he didn't have the off-season program. But he said he's felt better than ever, and it was something that he finally kind of nipped in the bud this off-season.
How soon or not do you expect Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts to get reps in with the first team on defense?
I think it's going to be sooner than later, because we are already seeing Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. taking reps with the first team. And yes, they're completely different players, but Raheem Morris has emphasized repeatedly this offseason how he wants the rookies to make a difference immediately in this defense. And in order to do that, they have to get reps in training camp, because when it comes to the season, that's not when you want to start learning things. You want to start learning things now so you're comfortable and confident later down the road.
How deep do you think the defensive line rotation is going to be? Specifically,
D-tackle. Like, even just watching the defense in practice the other day, they kept rotating bodies. I couldn't keep up with keeping, like, all the different lineups. I was like, well, all right, they're rotating. There's a lot of guys that they just keep putting in and out, plugging and chugging, and I think they're trying a bunch of different combinations, and now's the time to do it. Now's the time to see who works well with each other, and that's not to say it's going to be one lineup at a time. I think it is a mix and match based on how players are going to be feeling, who gets fatigued quicker, who has more bursts with shorter time or can last longer. It's going to be a mix of things in that way, but it has been really fun to see perhaps more guys than usual get reps.
If they're going to keep a third running back, who are some of the guys that have a chance to make the squad?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's honestly one I've been asking myself. I'd like to see Carlos Washington get an opportunity, because we've seen him, I think this is the third training camp in a row where I've seen him get a lot of reps in training camp. I mean, yes, it's only been one practice again this year, but I remember last year being like, Carlos Washington is getting a lot of reps. And I think even the year before, if I think back, I have a terrible memory. If I think back, Carlos Washington was a story even then. So I could see him being in that same load again, but there is still opportunities for the other two also. But right now, he's who I have my eye on behind Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier.
Same question about the tight end room. If there was to be somebody else besides Warner and obviously Kyle Pitts, do you think there's even an option on this roster right now?
I think there is, but it's going to take time to see who stands out. I like how we're already focusing so much on Kyle Pitts. because that gives me confidence to see, like, there might be more of an elevated role. I don't know. It's what we're seeing, again, only in day one. It's still too soon to say. But maybe they're thinking Penix can build a relationship with Pitts that allows him to kind of maybe go back to his rookie form, or maybe not to that extent, but better than what he has been doing in recent years. He's also in a contract year, so that might light a fire under him. Not that he needs motivation, but there's always like other factors that factor into what drives a player. And then you have Charlie Warner, who I think entering his second season with the Falcons could have more of an elevated role. Hey, he caught a pass yesterday. And I was like, there's Charlie. And AtlantaFalcons.com just did a huge project on him. Homegrown, you should go check it out if you haven't. There's an amazing video, two photo galleries, and then a story from myself. So Charlie Warner is front of mind at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously he's really good at what they brought him in to do mainly, which is be sort of that extra offensive lineman guy that can help chip and help block when Michael Penix Jr. is dropping back. Speaking of which, how many tweaks, how many changes do you expect from Zach Robinson in year two with Michael Penix Jr. as the full-time starter as opposed to Kirk Cousins?
That's a great question. I think it opens the playbook up a little more just because they were limitations with Kirk Cousins coming off of that injury before he came to Atlanta. But now with Penix, I think they got a sprinkling of what he's able to do last season with those final three games. And it's kind of like, okay, what can we build from there? And even in his press conference the other day, Penix was like, whatever Zach tells me to do, I'm going to do it. Just call it up. And there's that like calm confidence about him where it kind of does give Zach some liberty to have some fun with the playbook.
All right, Taryn, before I let you go, if you had to predict crystal ball style, do you think Kirk Cousins speaks again during camp? Or do you think the press conference he did a couple of weeks ago is going to suffice?
Ooh, I think he will. I know media can make requests, so I'm sure someone will be bound to ask for Kirk Cousins at some point. And because of how he's handled this situation so far, going back to even last season, where when there was the quarterback change, Kirk Cousins made sure to have a press conference and address the matter, and he did so like a professional. Regardless of his feelings on the matter, he did what he was supposed to do, and he spoke to the media and addressed a situation that probably wasn't exactly comfortable. And then it was the same thing in the offseason program, where I don't know the ins and outs of like what is required, who is required to speak, when, yada, yada. That's not my department. But Kirk Cousins still came out and spoke to the media and showed support toward Michael Penix Jr. And Penix did the same thing vice versa. So I think there's a professional level respect there that if his name is called or requested, he'll speak. But again, I don't know. That's out of my hands.
Yeah, but unfortunately for all of us as well. All right, Taryn, appreciate the time. As always, we'll be reading you at AtlantaFalcons.com as camp rolls on, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. When we get back, Drake London was on the station today with Andy and Randy, or morning shift, or Andy and Randy, Oren, help me out. Where was Drake London on today? Morning shift. Okay, so we'll let you hear that interview coming up with Mike and Squid and Allie and the gang on the morning shift. What did our WR1 have to say about the 2025 season? We'll let you hear that when we get back. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. What did our WR1 have to say exclusively on 92.9 The Game? You'll hear that coming up in just a couple of minutes. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Before we hear that, though, let's hear a couple of things from our QB1, Michael Penix Jr., as he went on with our guys in the afternoon, Dukes and Bell. The first thing I want you to hear is he was talking about his relationship with good old number 18, Kirk O'Chains.
Yeah, same vibe, man. He's great. A great guy. You know, he's still a leader. You know, everybody look at him as a leader, and he's always going to be that.
Yeah, and I think short and sweet, obviously, and to the point there as he's talking about Kirk, and he doesn't really need to expound, right? It is what it is. I mean, we all know what the situation is. It's not Michael Penix Jr.'s problem that Kirk did what he did last year. Lied about being injured, cost the team games, and then demanded a trade in the offseason. Quite a few months for good old Kirko. He was also talking about his relationship with the OC, Zach Robinson.
My relationship with him is great. You know, he trusts me, I trust him, and he's gonna call whatever's on that playbook, because he know as long as we're on the same page, you know, whenever we get out there, you know, we're gonna go out there and make it work. You know, every call not gonna be great, every play by me not gonna be great, but at the end of the day, we gotta lean on each other, you know, in those hard times and even in those good times, you know, and always trust each other, and you know, always come to an understanding when it comes game day, and we locked in, and we're gonna do whatever it takes to win football games.
Yeah, and that's why I asked Taryn Walk last segment, does she think the offense is going to look any different with Penix at the helm as opposed to with Kirk Cousins? And if you missed what she had to say, just go hit the Odyssey app, hit the rewind button, or go to my Twitter page at C Thomas Radio and make sure you subscribe to the Chris Thomas Tonight podcast, where you can get everything Chris Thomas Tonight, including Taryn's response to that question. A couple more from Penix, and then we'll hear from Drake London. The guys asked him about the excitement in the A. Does Michael Penix Jr. feel it?
I am, a little bit. You know, I feel like once season come around, you'll see it and feel it even more. You know, but I definitely am feeling the love. You know, it's amazing. You know, I love the city, man. It's a great city. You know, I was glad I got drafted here. You know, I'm not too far from home, so be able to have family come up a lot. So it's been great.
And I think once he gets into the bends and you hear the roar of the crowd and everything starts going and he realizes he's going to be the franchise guy here for a long time, I think those feelings will resound even more. What about setting goals? Is it playoffs or bust, Mike? What do you think?
No, we got to win. we got to get there, man. That's always the goal, man. The goal, trying to win every one, you know. But we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that we do that.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, it's pretty much a mandate at this point. It can be Arthur Blank doesn't need to say it without us in Falcons Nation knowing that is true, right? Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot and everybody else at Flowery Branch knows they have a huge target on their back. They need to make the playoffs. 7-9, 7-9, 7-9, 8-9 is not acceptable. And then you got to move from there. One more from Penix, and then we'll hear from Drake. He was talking about looking at the numbers, looking at the film, and learning from last year.
It was a lot of things to work off of. You know, obviously, you know, it was tough connecting, you know, early on, you know, but you know, as we continue to get better each and every day, you know, just spending all that time, you know, outside of the game field and even off the field as well, you know, just building that relationship with those guys, you know, that connection to continue to build. And I've been seeing it build all season. I can't wait to see what we do this year.
And that's just leadership, right? That's just him being the man, being the leader that the team knows that they need him to be. And I think everybody out here has full faith that he's going to be that guy. I mean, what has he shown so far to tell you that he's not going to be that guy? So I think it's just a matter of not paying attention to Vegas. And we've been joking around all week about 7.5 over and under, 18.5 over and under touchdown passes. You can't focus on that kind of stuff. And we know that. It's training camp. The time is here to put the nose to the grindstone and get to work. All right, let's hear from our wide receiver one, Drake London. He was on with the morning shift. And as always, Drake is another guy who comes off cool, calm, collected, and confident. And I really think he has a chance if he reaches his potential this season to be, you know, a top five, top six receiver in the NFL and put up huge numbers. And this is what he had to say to the morning shift.
Really nothing. I don't really see anything that's different. Just excited to play some football and finally be back out here with the guys. Yeah.
Drake, last year you really showed the world. They look at me, the NFL world, and I have people come up, like, they're listeners, and they'll tweet us and everything. They'll be like, man, Drake's going to have a breakout season this year. And I said, hell, he had 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. How do you break out over that? But to that point, how do you go in the offseason after having a year like that and say, oh, wait, I got to find holes in my game and work on and get better, and then to eclipse that big season that you had last year?
Exactly that. Just work on the little nuances that I see in the film room and on the field with myself that I could get better at is the biggest thing. And then to just go out there and prove the data is wrong at the end of the day. It's kind of a trend right now that I keep on going underrated and just flying under the radar, and I'm okay with that. I'm not really a big public guy anyway, so it's totally fine with me. But, you know, I have to go out there and prove every year, and that's my goal every year. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Well, it is day one of training camp, so back to work, and clearly you guys are working hard. But what did you do in your offseason? Did you get into anything fun?
No, I'm not a big traveler. My traveling is going back to Cali, where that's home base. So go back, see family, and hang out. That's pretty much it.
Falcons wide receiver Drake London hanging out with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Look, we're going to get into a little more football. We'll have a little more fun in just a second. Year four for you, fourth time in 4 years you've had a different starting quarterback in week one. How do you find the continuity? Because it's really incredible. We've seen the ups and downs, and hey, bad situation at quarterback, different offense coordinator, different head coach. You've been pretty consistent over your career. What do you give credit to for that?
I don't know who to give credit to, but just see ball, get ball. I don't really care how it's thrown. As long as it's in my vicinity, then I'm going to go get it, you know. So that's my whole mentality.
Understanding of the playbook, things like that. I mean, it just comes naturally.
I mean, yeah, there's days that I have to go in and really study with the coaches and get with the quarterbacks and figure out those little things that I have to do to make the playbook just that much better and more understandable for me. But other than that, I see ball, go get ball.
What do you think those conversations have been like so far with Michael Penix trying to get comfortable with him?
They've been great, you know. And really, he's the same way. He just wants to throw the pigskin, and I just want to catch it. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
Well, to that point with the different guys, what's the adjustment like for that? Because you guys switched midseason. So you adjust on the fly. Because everybody throws it. You know, these guys are different. Kirk goes a different ball than Penix does. And how's the adjustment? Because Penix, he's got a freaking laser. That thing comes out quick.
Yeah. I mean, there's sometimes it caught me off guard. But other than that, it's just catching a football at the end of the day, and I try to keep it as simple as that because that's what it is. I don't try to overcomplicate things.
You guys did an off-season, during the OTAs and stuff, you did an off-season video that was on the .com for the Falcons, and they were with you, and you had just found out they picked up your fifth-year option, and your reaction was so pure, so cool about just what it meant to you about, you know, that it was almost like, hey, we notice what you're doing, how valuable you are to our team.
Yeah. Again, how I said earlier, I kind of fly under the radar on a lot of people's whatever you might say it is. So for them to notice it is a huge thing, especially the facility that or the organization that drafted me and believed in me from the get-go. So it means a lot to have them do that for me and want to keep me here.
Well, I'm going to ask another fun question. Who are you rooming with out here at training camp?
Yeah. I got Mooney, Ray Ray, and Cadell Hodge.
All right. I know it's only been one day, but who's the messiest out of them?
Who's the messiest? Now we're all clean. We're all good.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, we run a strict regimen in that dorm right there.
let's say on that topic, Drake London hanging out with us here on the morning shift. Talk to me about the locker room a little bit, and that's a big thing. When I was here playing, it was, you know, who's on the aux corps. I think, you know, we had William Moore some days. Asante Samuel stepped in, the senior, not the junior that, you know, everybody's familiar with now. Who's on the aux these days? I mean, what kind of music are y'all listening to in the locker room? What are the vibes like? Is it muted in the morning, or is somebody waking y'all up, getting things bumping in the early days?
It depends on who puts some music on, but it's usually JB, Jesse Bates, who usually puts some stuff on. It's really the defensive guys who kind of run the music. Yeah, pretty much. So now they put on some smooth stuff. You know, we have some Drake in there, Lil Baby, little stuff like that. So, yeah.
You any concerts or anything this off season? I know you said you didn't do much, but there's been a lot of acts, obviously in California and Atlanta too.
Yeah, no, I don't really go to concerts or anything like that. I
stay low key, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect. I wanted to ask this a goofy camp question. We did it last year. Last year you were phenomenal with the guardian cap answer. But what's Drake London's spirit animal?
Spirit animal?
Yeah, you know, if you what animal do you relate to in the animal kingdom?
Oh, for sure, a lion. I mean, what is it?
Astrology.
Sorry, yeah. I say astronomy. Astrology. I'm a Leo, so I guess a lion. Yeah.
Good stuff there from Drake London, wide receiver one. But we have a problem. Warren, we have a problem. You alerted me to something while this interview was going on that for some reason didn't pop up on my timeline, even though I do follow him. Zach Klein, WSB TV. This guy doesn't miss. This guy doesn't put out misinformation. He's a true reporter. He's not a hot take guy. Zach Klein, NFL league source tells me Falcons wide receiver Darnell Mooney has a shoulder injury and will miss most of training camp. Not good. It's not good, folks. Is it devastating? No. But you want your wide receiver two getting as much work with quarterback one as possible. And now you're not going to be able to do that. And obviously now we need to take into account as well, Oren, starters don't play for Raheem Morris in the preseason. So what type of action, how far behind now is he going to be? Obviously, it's not a leg injury, so hopefully he'll still be able to stay in shape and stay in condition over the next few weeks. But this is not good. Again, Zach Klein, WSB-TV. NFL League source tells me Falcons wide receiver Darnell Mooney has a shoulder injury and will miss most of training camp. So we kept asking all day long, is the signing of DJ Chark coincidental? Because the room could use depth anyway. Or was it purposeful? And now we have the answer. It is to have another body in there to get reps and to try to make the team and to hold the place for Darnell Mooney until he gets back. And again, it's interesting because if you look at their careers, DJ Chark and Darnell Mooney, they're very similar. They each had one big year, a couple of other decent years, and never really popped in the NFL consistently. Now, I think on face value, Mooney's better than Chark, but they're similar. So it'll be interesting to see if they cast him into Darnell Mooney's role, or if Ray-Ray McCloud steps up, or does Casey Washington now get a chance? Obviously, Mooney's a guy that as soon as he's back and healthy is going to get his spot back. He's wide receiver two, and he's going to be wide receiver two. But again, if he's going to miss most of training camp, I mean, that's not good. And you hope that there's enough time that by the time week one rolls around, you're not sitting there, if you're Raheem Morris, asking yourself, is he ready to go? Is he in football shape? Now, there's a difference between him being able to ride the bike and do some conditioning off to the side and being in football shape. So we're going to have to see what happens there. Obviously not good news for the Falcons. Again, an NFL source telling WSB-TV's Zach Klein that Darnell Mooney has sustained a shoulder injury and will miss the majority of training camp. Oh, boy. 404-726-0929. When we get back, though, let's keep the NFL conversation going with our buddy BMAC, Bryant McFadden. He stopped by with Dukes and Bell today. I'd love to get his insight on the league each and every week. That conversation will be with you coming up next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Loaded last hour and change of the show for you here on Chris Thomas Tonight Turtle, hanging out on a Friday. If you haven't voted on the poll question, please do. And appreciate everybody who's checked in and a bunch of phone calls we took earlier in the show as well. I'll do a little refresh here. It is at CT Tonight 929. If you haven't given the show page a follow yet, please do. That is where all the show content is being posted to, at CT Tonight 929. The Falcons team MVP will be blank this season. I gave you three choices and then left another spot for other. Bijan Robinson leading the way with 61%. Michael Penix Jr., 27%. Jesse Bates was 6%. And other was 6% with votes coming in for Drake London and others as well. If you just missed it, we did get the update from Zach Klein of WSB. Darnell Mooney has a shoulder injury and is expected to miss most of training camp. So the speculation today about why bring in DJ Chark, well, it's not just for depth. It's now for a guy that's going to be able to step in and try to make a name for himself while one of your main wide receivers is on the shelf for a little bit. All right, right now let's hear from Bryant McFadden, our good buddy who joins Dukes and Bell each and every week. The first thing the guys asked him about was Michael Penix Jr.'s comments yesterday. Good move or bad move for the second-year quarterback?
No, I don't think that's far-fetched. I think if you're trying to be one of the best units in the National Football League, you need to be the best unit in your division, right? That's the first major step. Now, if you go back to what we saw in 2024, the best offensive skill positions and totality, entire offense, came from Tampa in terms of the consistency in which they played and just being overly productive. So that's the first hurdle for Penix and his offensive teammates. Become the most dominant unit in your division. Because if you don't do that in the division, you have no shot of being of stating that claim in the National Football League. And the final thing I say with him making that statement, why I don't think it's far-fetched, is because, number one, when you look at the prolific offenses in the National Football League, they do two things well. They throw the ball well, and they run the ball well, which will lead to what? Points. So if you look at Bijan Robinson continuing to take steps in the right direction, he should be unstoppable, not just in the running game, but also in the passing game. If Drake continues to take that step to being that bona fide wide receiver one option like he was a year ago, that helps the offense. Darnell Mooney being the ultimate number two. And the main caveat is tight end production.
Mm-hmm.
They've been missing that.
Right.
If Kyle Pitts can live up to the billing this year, that could definitely make that statement a realistic thing in terms of what he could do. And that's why I say it's not far-fetched.
And, B, we were talking about it earlier. He was sort of pumping up his offensive line, saying we got a great offensive line. And not to cast shade, okay, well, it's not like a Russell Wilson comment where you just kind of roll your eyes. But here's a guy who's 25. He's been a leader on every team he's been on. And basically setting the tone in a subtle way, like, hey, these are my guys. I got their back. It's my team. Because he still has Kirk Cousins here. I think nothing but good things come from that kind of talk.
No, that's the maturation process with a guy like Penix, because as you guys stated early on, he's kind of a rookie, but he doesn't handle himself as a rookie. You know, when you guys hear him speak, you don't look at a guy who's trying to figure things out. You hear a guy that is very, very confident in his skill set, but he also is confident in the coaches and the personnel that's surrounding him. So in terms of talent, you know he has it, right? Now you want to see him just take command of the offense. And it sounds like he's doing that early on in the training camp period with him taking all the reps with the ones, commanding the huddle, so he can be able to orchestrate the type of drives that will get fans to stand up when they're watching them play this season.
We're talking with Brian McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. While we're talking that and saying the Steelers, I know you saw what happened yesterday, right? I know you saw what happened.
Here we go.
What? I'm just saying. I mean, first play of camp and you throw a pick?
Training camp highlight you're trying to you want to reference right now. I want to hear this one.
First play of training camp. He's in the shotgun. Ready, set, Aaron Rodgers pick. First play. Come on, B.
It happens. You know that. You know that. But we live in a day and age now that everything is magnified and is talked about. You know what I mean? And I'll say this, even though that's not the first start you want, it's the first start you want for the defensive side.
Oh, okay.
See, positive. He's spinning a positive.
Okay. All right.
It's a positive. And iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
When you look at it like this. When you look at great teams, right, let's utilize the Eagles for an example from 2024. Offensively, what did the Eagles do well? They ran the ball well, right?
Right.
And because of how well they ran the football, guess who also was a dominant unit? Their defensive line. They saw each other daily, weekly, in practices. So I spin that way in a positive. And that was the first rep. You know, Aaron just got there. So, you know, he's still trying to figure things out.
Oh, yeah.
But don't worry. The same way they highlight the interceptions that he might throw, that he did throw, make sure they highlight the touchdowns as well.
Yeah, Jackson Dart did the same thing, by the way, for the Giants, Carl, please. It is a Dukes and Bell here talking about the NFL training camp.
He's not the starter.
No, it's fun, but you said, as B said, it's going to be magnified. Speaking of Steelers, former Steeler George Pickens yesterday, 2 days ago, down in Dallas, throwing shade at his former OC, Arthur Smith, asked about the offense for the Cowboys. Yeah, I'm definitely excited to run better plays, for sure. Yeah. So, is he going to mature? Is he going to flourish in Dallas, or is he going to be more of the same? Not living up to full potential?
Yo, Mike Carr, he should flourish. He should. He should live up to the billing. I'll say this now for all of us, being football fans, one thing we know for sure, Dak Prescott would be the best quarterback he's played with in his professional career. Mm-hmm. And that's no knock on the other quarterbacks, but just in terms of who Dak Prescott has become in the National Football League, for all the negative pub he receives in terms of playoff mishaps, whatever. Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback. So that should help George Pickens. Secondly, CeeDee Lamb will be the best opposite wide receiver he's ever played with as well.
Mm.
Right?
Opportunities.
So,
right.
No question. And you can't debate that. You can't. So no, I think George Pickens, man, he should excel in this offense, man, because if that offensive line can really do a good job in protecting the quarterback, when you got C.D. Lamb, who's a bona fide wide receiver, one elite-like player, you can't forget about Jake Ferguson at the tight end position. Man, George Pickens should have a great year, which is great for him financially speaking because this is a contract year for him as well.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. Let me ask you about these contract situations. And B, I know you've not necessarily maybe yourself. I'm not sure if you experienced it, but you played around guys. From just a teammate standpoint, you hear all these guys standing up for their guys. Dak talking about Micah. Joe Burrow talking about Trey Henderson. Like, hey, we just need to get this done. How difficult is it on the team? Or is it just, hey, when you're going through it and your boy's going through it, it is what it is?
It's difficult because the players that you mentioned are difference makers. It's different because now when practice is over, the microphone is in front of your face and you're answering questions about your teammate. It becomes a distraction to a degree. And the final thing you look at, too, both guys are more than deserving of being paid, especially Micah Parsons, who's younger. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, what are we doing? What are we waiting for? And this Trey Hendrickson saga, oh, my goodness. It's that right there. Micah is going to get paid. For whatever reason, Jerry loves to wait until the 25th hour. Right. To get these contracts done, maybe to steal headlines because they love headlines in Dallas. With Trey Hendrickson, I don't know when he's going to get paid unless he takes lower of his market value. Unless. Mm-hmm. So this is a situation for Cincinnati where it could really be drawn out because clearly they predicated more money to the offensive side than the defensive side, and the defense was horrendous a year ago. Micah's going to get paid. You're not paying Micah Parsons. Jerry can say whatever you want to say about what he's done in the past with contracts. Number 11 is better than any player you've paid over the last 4 or 5 years
right. In
that organization. And you know he is a difference maker, regardless of only playing the defensive side. So Micah's going to get paid. Trey Hendrickson, to be determined with that situation.
It is our man, B-Mac, Brian McFadden, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You played in the NFL for a number of years, mostly with the Steelers. Guys around the league, you know, when it comes to either free agency, there are teams that maybe they try to avoid, like the plague. Reason I bring it up, Carl and I were having some fun looking at the comments of the Browns owner, Mike Brown, talking about the Shamar Stewart contract. Another example, should be done by now, basically saying the fifth year is the holdup. If he's sitting in jail, I don't think I ought to be paying him. What do guys think when they hear stuff like that from an owner?
That's not professional. That's not professional, first and foremost. And it's disrespectful as well, also. And it's no surprise now, when you look at Cincinnati, they've been a bottom dweller, mm-hmm. mostly over the last 2 decades, mostly.
Right.
Inconsistencies. And when you're at the top and you say things like this, it's a reflection of the overall concept. I always say this in terms of business, in terms of sports, whatever landscape you're a part of, good things happen to good people. When you have good people around you, you have good results. Good energy, good results. For him to sit here and say that, he could be sitting in jail. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
Like, what are we doing? There are so many things you can take from that statement in terms of it being unprofessional, you know, in terms of it being clearly unfair. You know, you could even throw – you know, just the demographic of where Shamar Stewart is from
right. Into
that equation as well. The background, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense for you to sit here and justify why the contract hasn't been done, the language of the contract. Come on, man, that's disrespectful. And I can tell you this much, too, for the leaders on that team, right? The leaders on that team, the money guys on that team, they should definitely step up and speak up on behalf of their teammate. Because you don't handle people like that. You don't do people like that. Regardless if you're cutting the checks, if you don't. Treat people how you want to be treated. Regardless of what your title is. And sometimes, and you guys know this, in the world, in the adult life that we all live, sometimes people allow their egos to be able to allow their mouth to be loose-lipped, to say whatever they want to say, because they have all the chips in the middle of their table. And that ain't right.
I agree, 200%. And I wish more guys would stand up. But I think it speaks to the organization, which is why we weren't surprised when Mike Brown's, you know, he said this, 90-year-old Mike Brown said this And we were like, really? But it doesn't give him a pass. I agree. One last thing. You got rings. When you won those rings, did you wear them? Because Jalen Hurts is keeping the past behind him. He is not going to be wearing his ring anytime soon. He's not wearing his Super Bowl ring. He says, I moved on to the new year. Motivation? How did you look at the ring?
Yo, that's great to hear from Jalen Hurts. For me, no, I don't wear mine. The only time I wear mine now, guys, is probably around Super Bowl week. You know, when I'm at the Super Bowl site, right. You know, I'm talking. Clearly it's relevant because that's why everyone is gathered there for the Super Bowl. But when I played, I put it up. I saw it, and then I didn't look at it for – I mean, my first Super Bowl, guys, after we got our rings in the offseason in 2006, I probably didn't look at it again until the 2008 season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like you see, you know you have it because it's always there. You know, one thing about when you win a championship, you will always have that. You know, when you play the game of football, you will eventually become a former player. But you're never a former champion. So I always kind of knew I had it. But then for us in Pittsburgh, it was like on the next one. Right. The first one makes you want the next one even more. It creates a newfound hunger. And I love hearing that from Jalen Hurts because, you know, he gets – criticized from different angles, but one thing we don't celebrate, I think, enough with him is just how rooted and grounded he is, dialed in, and also, right, too, leadership as well.
Right.
I love that about that.
He is, by the way, because people are talking about him not carrying his team and all this BS.
And that's Cam. That's Cam speaking.
He is five seasons in. He's made a couple of Super Bowls. There are only 1, 2, 3, 4 of the quarterbacks who've done it. Brady, Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson in their first five seasons, Patrick Mahomes and Kurt Warner. So he joins that crew. Dude, Jalen, since he's taken over, is 45-17 over the last four seasons. There's not an organization that wouldn't take that. Right. No, there's not one.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. When you look at Jalen Hurts, and I know it's been a very, very hot topic, you know, with some of former NFL players kind of going back and forth with Jalen Hurts about who he is and where he should be ranked in the top echelon of quarterbacks. His numbers speak for itself. And then when you say, well, he has a lot surrounding him, well, if you remove him from that same situation, what are they? Because when they had Kenny Pickett in the game, when Jalen was knocked out with that concussion and missed a few games, the offense didn't look the same. And the last time I checked also, he led the Eagles to a Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley.
That's true.
And right, actually, in that Super Bowl, yes, they lost, but he outplayed
Mahomes
in the first Super Bowl.
Right. Well, my thing Brian, real quick, we got to wrap, but everyone knows what Cam accomplished, and no one's ever going to take that away from him. He was an MVP in this league. I just feel he gets in his bag over other guys that are achieving. I mean, hell, Joe Montana had a great team around him. Everybody who wins had a great team. You know, maybe Cam, you could argue he had a lesser supporting cast, but still there was a hell of a team, hell of a defense that year.
He did. And when Cam won that MVP, no question, it was almost like a reflection of what he did at Auburn. He did more with less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Cam and what people have to understand, when he speaks on what he speaks on, he gives you his why. You might not agree with his why, but there's no reason to go ahead and make it a bigger deal, in my opinion. You know, and so, like, when you have these discussions, it's like barbershop talk. You go in a barbershop, people give their opinion. It's our job as debate individuals that, hey, but give me your top 10. Like, if he's not in your top 10, well, let me hear your top 10. Because if you have Jared Goff above Jalen Hurts, the same thing you're saying that's hurting Jalen Hurts, you can say the same thing about Jared Goff. Look who Jared Goff has surrounding him.
Yeah.
They're arguably the best play caller we've seen over the last 4 years.
Loaded.
Great wide receivers, great offensive linemen, one of the best right tackles in the game, great running backs, a feisty defense. So what are we saying? That's how I look at it. But in my top 10, Jalen Hurts is a top 10. And in my top 5, I would have Jalen Hurts in my top 5.
Me too.
Me personally.
I'm with you. B, we got to run, man. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week at camp. And have a great weekend, man. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That is the great B-Mac, Bryant McFadden. He was bringing it today. He was fiery. Love it. Love the passion from B-Mac. He's always great. He's always one of my favorites. But today, he was... I guess ask him about Cam Newton. He's got a lot to say. All right, when we get back, we're going to try something fun. We've been doing these wheels, and I don't know if this is going to work. We're going to see. We have a backup plan if it doesn't, because we've done MLB and NBA, NFL. We're going to try to do a stock up, stock down for college football teams and spin the wheel. Now, this could be an unmitigated disaster, or this could be great. Either way, you're going to want to tune in and find out next.